January 19th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. Their headquarters are at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You may subscribe to the RBN Archives for only $1.33 per month, which is an amazing, affordable price. And you can do that by going to republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, choose the year, the month, and you can see a list of the guests from last year, last week, this week, next week, and even into February, together with links to their websites. For questions or comments during the program, just email spingola1@yahoo.com. Otherwise, my regular email is deanna@spingola.com. Today, I have a Smart Meters film trailer on the radio schedule page on today's date. I hope that you will watch it. It's very short, but very concise, and I hope that you will share it with others. Our guest today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltoftheplebs.wordpress.com. He is a writer for the American Free Press, and he's very prolific in putting things up on his own website. Welcome to the program, Keith.
Well, thank you for having me back, Deanna.
Well, it's wonderful. I always enjoy our visits.
Yes, I do too. They're really fun. And I have fun with callers too, when they don't beat me up too bad, but I'm used to it.
Oh, our callers are usually very nice. They're very astute. They're well educated, and I really appreciate them.
Oh, I do too. I certainly do.
You wrote an article, Will Americans Be Required to Give DNA? And I was, as I was pondering that question, I thought, you know, maybe we already have. Maybe a lot of us already have. I mean, think of the circumstances under which they could extract DNA from you. I mean, you know, go to the dentist or, you know, a variety of other situations.
Yes, definitely. And I believe that a lot of states require blood samples from newborns, and they have databases where they keep that. So, you know, if you're under the age of 40 or 35, I don't recall exactly what age the cutoff is now, but in a lot of states, your DNA really is on file, whether they, you know, call it DNA samples or blood samples. It's still there, and, you know, the government can come in at any time, especially in today's environment, without a warrant or anything, and, you know, take that and frightening implications can be imagined. You know, people could be framed for things or, you know, cross-referenced with somebody else. It's a really dangerous precedent that I lay out here in this article, and it is being challenged. And if you read, you know, listeners out there don't know already that there is a law in the books. This was passed back in 2006 by President George W. Bush, called the DNA Fingerprint Act, which allows the government to literally take DNA from anyone who's been arrested on a felony charge. And I have to emphasize the word arrested. That is before being convicted. So, you know, and police officers generally, when they arrest you, they throw as many charges on there as possible, hoping that a few of them will stick. Even things that, well, resisting arrest, for instance, even though the person is completely cooperative. So.
Right. You know, I think there are certain states that years ago used to take a blood sample before you could get married, before you could get a license.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting. All righty, we are going to a three-minute break. We will be right back, so stay tuned.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Have you been diagnosed with cancer and told that there isn't any alternative to chemo, radiation, and surgery? Are you tired of hearing that if you want to survive, you must be brave and accept the suffering that comes with cancer treatments today? LaserMed, Inc. says, fight back! Because now it's cancer's turn to die with its revolutionary patented laser treatment called Leash Therapy. Without cutting, bleeding, poisoning, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin and breast cancer in place, as well as some other types of cancer, no matter what the size. To find out if you qualify for this therapy, call 918-398-9577. That's 918-398-9577. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
We are back. Our guest today is Keith Johnson, and you were here last week, and you were talking about the people who are training our police forces here. And I, after we talk about this DNA situation, I would like to go back and kind of finish up talking about that, because I don't think that you completed giving us all the information. So this DNA issue is quite drastic, and they can even just arrest you. You indicate that they can even set up a roadblock just to check for drunk drivers and demand breath, blood, and saliva samples from all travelers.
Yeah, and what the article doesn't say is it was done for a private institution, and they don't really elaborate too much on what that institution was, but... you know, it's just outrageous. And in South Florida, not sure if it was Tampa or one of those other large cities in, or counties down there in Florida, they had roadblocks and they were demanding DNA samples, you know, swabs, sticking a swab in your mouth and getting a saliva sample while they were searching for a serial killer, someone who, you know, killed some women in the area. So they set up these roadblocks and demanded that people give samples of their DNA, because apparently they had a sample of the suspect's DNA, but it wasn't in any database. So it's just outrageous. And
interesting.
Actually, in New York State right now, which is one of the premier police states that we have in this nation, the governor, Andrew Cuomo, is proposing a law for his state that would make it the first in the country to take mandatory DNA samples from all convicted offenders. That would include anybody, not only those charged with felonies, but also those charged with misdemeanors. You know, so, you know, kid who takes, you know, steals a candy bar from a liquor store or something will have to be compelled to provide samples of his DNA, which goes into a database. And see, the problem with this database is the larger it gets, the more of a likelihood is that your DNA sample could match another similar profile. And in my article, I take a quote out from Washington Monthly from an attorney who writes, "The reasons for this aren't difficult to grasp. Consider what happens when you take a DNA profile that has a rarity of one in a million and run it through a database that contains a million people. Chances are you're going to get a coincidental match." So there's all sorts of problems, you know, that that are associated with this.
Right. I think all of this is a result of 9/11 and the Patriot Act, because since the Patriot Act, I mean, we've experienced all kinds of tyrannical kinds of things, including the fusion centers, which I think there are like 84 in this country as we speak. And you have to wonder, my gosh, what are they trying to do? And I think we all kind of got that figured out. But this is so invasive and in such a relatively short period of time.
Yes, definitely. I mean, my head spins sometimes. I mean, new things come out every single day. Now we have, I mean, we touched last week on the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows the indefinite detention of American citizens. And my main gripe was that many, you know, people in the mainstream media and the alternative press focused on Obama rather than AIPAC and the three minions, Carl Levin, John McCain, Lindsey Graham. Now we've got a new bill. Now that one's been signed into law, we have another Jewish-created bill that comes to us from another dual Israeli citizen by the name of Joseph Lieberman. We all know who he is, senator from Connecticut. And this bill is perhaps even more scary, called the Enemy Expatriation Act. The bill number is H.R. 3163, which is an amendment that would essentially grant the U.S. government to brand Americans as hostile enemies for, quote, engaging in or purposely and materially supporting hostilities against the United States. Now, this is such a, you know, the term hostilities, meaning any conflict subject to the laws of war, but it's so vague. I mean, engaging in or purposely and materially supporting hostilities against the United States. Could they mean your radio program or my articles, you know?
Sure.
This is so vague, and these things are just coming at us one after the other. And, you know, if that happens, this is just... well, I mean, we're already in the thick of it already. It's just amazing.
Right. And, of course, it isn't just the bills that they impose upon us. It's the sentences and the other things that they put into bills that we never see, that we never hear about. And you're right. I mean, they are arresting a lot of people and have been for some time. And I was going over kind of a mental list of the people that I've been aware of because I've had their relatives on the program or something, and just the people that are in jail for crimes that they have been framed for. For instance, Edgar Steele. I mean, that is such a blatant unjust incarceration, and
oh, yeah.
Numerous other ones that are very, very similar to that one.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, they're really throwing the book at people who are engaged in, I guess, what you would call the Patriot Movement or the anti-Zionist movement. I look what happened to Ed and Elaine Brown, who simply said, "Show us the tax." And they're camped out in their house and didn't shoot anybody, didn't harm anybody. You know, he made a few threats, but he's got it's a virtual death sentence, 35 years in prison. For that, he never hurt anybody. You know, in contrast, when I attended this Nashville Sharia or Constitution conference, the man who sponsored it was a pastor who led the congregation where this conference was held, and he only spent 8 years in prison for taking a knife and almost severing the head off of a woman's body. You know, so, I mean... I don't know Well, I know what's wrong with our justice system, but it's just amazing the hypocrisy,
right?
And the balance is just so off, and they really are going after people who are dissenters, people
right.
who speak up against the government.
Bernard von Nothaus, the co-founder of the Royal Hawaiian Mint Company,
mm-hmm.
Was charged, and I believe that he is still waiting for sentencing, but he was found guilty on various counts, including the making of counterfeit coins. And my goodness, and these people get 15 and 20 year sentences, which
oh, yeah. you don't want
is
to, you,
horrific.
Yeah. yeah,
horrific.
I mean, we could spend all day with examples on that. Yeah.
Right.
It is amazing.
And, of course, we know that part of this is the privatization of prisons, wherein some of the judges that that sentence these people also have invested their funds into local prisons. And so the more people that they imprison, the more money that they make, because these prisons are now owned by private corporations. And of course, the taxpayers, I believe, still pay to incarcerate people, and so the money goes right into the private corporations and their investors.
Yeah, and the U.S. boasts the highest incarcerated population in the world. There's more than
right.
2 million people in prison, including 800,000 of those are black. And that doesn't include people on parole, on probation, or unable to get a job because of their criminal record. It's all a business.
Right. And yet they concentrate on the places like, China. Oh, it's terrible in China.
And North Korea. Yeah, and we...
right, and we're way worse. Way worse.
Much, much, much worse.
Amazing.
Let's see. Should we recap on what we did last week, or should just get into it, just pick up where we left off? What do you think?
Pick up where you left off.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's address this, since we're addressing the police state. We'll talk about police brutality, the epidemic of police brutality, or so it seems anyway. Now, that's not one thing that we can blame the Zionists on for entirely, police brutality. Remember, I said entirely. Certainly has gotten worse since they've stepped in to train our cops, but they can't be blamed entirely. police brutality has always been around. It's always existed. One of the reasons it seems so epidemic right now is because of the readily available cameras that people have to document these things. I mean, practically everybody carries around a video camera today. And, it's a feature that comes on most mobile phones. But coming from a background in law enforcement, and I don't like to use that term, law enforcement, but that's essentially what police officers have become, enforcers of the law rather than keepers of the peace. But coming from a background in law enforcement, I can say that there has always been a segment of police who've been brutal bastards. And there's always been corruption. For instance, any cop who's listening to my voice, who was a police officer back in the day, and I'm talking about the late 70s or 80s, will agree with me that you simply did not get a traffic ticket if you were a cop traveling down any street or highway in California. It just didn't happen. And if you get stopped by a cop, you flash your badge, and the cop who stops you turns around, walks away. You know, he might mumble an expletive at you for wasting his time, but you wouldn't get a ticket.
I think that's true all over.
Yeah.
I think that, and not only policemen, but anybody that works in that industry. I mean, mm-hmm. you could be a guard at a prison and not get a ticket if you just tell them who you are.
Yep. And likewise, as far as police reports, they're just full of lies, especially those dealing with arrests that led to altercations where the officer might be covering up some of the errors or outright brutality that he was responsible for instigating. And
right.
it was taught in the academy. It was called CYA. I think people know what that means. Cover your... Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
all righty. We do have to go to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Our guest today is Keith Johnson. His website, revoltoftheplebs.wordpress.com. And you were talking about the things that you learn in school, in the classes that you take to become a law enforcement officer.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of paint a picture here of what's different now and what remains the same. There's certain things that do remain the same. And there are certain things that have gotten a lot worse as a result of some particular factors that we'll address. But before I continue on that, what I want to say, you know, it's a sensitive subject to talk about the police because, you know, there are police out there right now listening to us thinking, you know, oh, here we go. It's this. We're feeding into this us versus them mentality, and I don't want that to be the case. We need to reach out to the police and say that we're not out here to try to harm the police. We want the police to protect us. We want to work with the police. We're trying to expose where a lot of these, who is pulling the strings, who's at the very top, and who's creating this environment, this atmosphere of the police against the people.
And it is a top-down environment. It's a top-down
Yes, we need to deal
pressure.
With the top. It's a catch-22. I don't like to see a lot of websites, particularly Patriot websites, that concentrate a lot on police brutality and showing videos and writing articles about it. It has to be done. Yes, I understand that. We need to document these things and see them. But my suggestion would be document them, show these things, but don't allow people, don't have a comment section. Because what happens is you get a lot of people there that say, oh, I'm going to kill that cop, or that cop needs to be strung up by his short hairs, or, you know, this sort of thing. And cops read that, and they become, and that just reinforces this us versus them mentality, you know? So
sure.
My suggestion to these websites is, you know, yes, post the article, but shut down the comments to it, because you get a lot of people in there that are going to make it, that's going to be a reflection on you when these police officers read this stuff. So,
and you know, they're part of the, they have been targeted for indoctrination
mm-hmm.
to respond in a way that is very harmful to the U.S. population. Mm-hmm. And this has occurred, as some of those bills we were talking about in the beginning of the program, since September 11th. And it's very interesting that the policemen that I've talked to, in fact, one of them, when I had my 9/11 list, he was local here. He lived in another community close to mine. And he contacted me, and he dropped by to pick up some DVDs and some other things. And he told me that he had a very, very difficult time talking with the other people in his unit or, you know, in his department, because they were also indoctrinated to believe the official story of 9/11, that he simply could not talk to them about it. And if he attempted to, they would ostracize him. And so this is a group of people that have been trained to be very unified, to watch each other's back, to cover each other, even if the covering of each other means that they're breaking the law themselves.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And once, you know, a lot of people that are drawn to police work are drawn to it because of the power and, you know, that gun and that badge. And once they have that, I have seen cops who have been suspended and are pending investigation for something, and they're downright suicidal. Just the thought of losing that gun and losing that badge and becoming just a regular civilian is just a nightmare thought to them, you know. So,
sure.
You know, it creates this environment where they're covering each other's black. It's called the thin blue line and the code of silence. You know, that's always existed. That's one thing that has never changed. But,
right.
Yeah, getting back to what I was talking about when we were in the academy, this our report writing instructor actually referred to his course as creative writing, quote unquote, creative. This is creative writing course because, you know, there's just certain things that the public don't understand and the things that we have to do to confront this and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's always been around. This us versus them mentality, thin blue line, it has just been just as prevalent back then as it is today. Now, what's different? Well, first of all, back in the day, and we're talking about the 80s, we were taught in the academy to enforce the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. And it was actually the first law of the penal code at the beginning of the book. I haven't consulted the California penal code lately. Perhaps that's changed, but it was penal code number one. And it instructed you that you don't have to enforce every law as it is written. You know, you need to use your own judgment, and you have to, you know, you're dealing with the public. You're there to protect them and to serve them. You don't want to, you know, create a situation where this one little thing that they may have done is going to be a blot on their record for their entire life. We don't want to create criminals. We want to stop crime.
But is that really true now?
That's what's different now. What's different now is that that kind of mentality or that the ideology of enforcing the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law has been replaced with zero tolerance policing. You've heard that term, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Our guest today is Keith Johnson, and you were talking about the things that that you learn in the academy and the differences now.
Yeah, the difference being that people or police are increasingly being told to have zero tolerance. So we have this now this thing called zero tolerance policing, because getting people into the system means money, you know. It means more federal money for each person incarcerated. You know, of course, traffic tickets generate more income, more revenue into the police department's coffers. And with this economy tanking as it is, it's becoming, you know, it's becoming more prevalent, this zero-tolerance policing. And if you look back like 20 or 30 years ago, you didn't get a traffic ticket for going 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit unless you were in a, you know, a school zone or, you know, you were a jerk and giving the cop a bad time, but, you know, not every traffic stop resulted in a traffic ticket. You know, cops gave warnings. But those days are over. I mean, really, I mean, more and more places, every stop usually, well, it's becoming more prevalent. Less warnings and more tickets. So today there's this zero tolerance. The police are becoming revenue-generating machines, especially in these tough times. And we also have more laws on the books. Did you know that last year, in 2011, 40,000 new laws were put on the books? 40,000 new laws that took effect on January 1st, 2012. And what happened...
Applicable all over the country?
Yeah. Well, 40,000 new laws, period. Just all over the country. Yeah.
But but all over the country where, oh, my goodness, okay.
40,000 new laws, federal laws, state laws, local laws. And what happens when you create more laws, you create more criminals. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You know, new laws create new criminals that weren't there before. And, you know, you have a couple, few too many drinks now, you light up a cigarette at a bar, congratulations, you've now become a criminal. So you couple this zero-tolerance policing with thousands of new laws, and you have a larger segment of criminals than you've ever had before in the general population.
Right.
Now, so far as police brutality is concerned, back in the day, again, we're talking about when I was witness to this stuff, the brutality was usually dished out to what cops referred to as dirt bags. That was the common term back then. And these would be repeat offenders, usually from low-income neighborhoods. And that included whites as well as blacks and Hispanics. And usually these people were regularly involved in some violent activity or theft. But today that category of dirtbag has now expanded to include almost everybody in America. I mean, in the past, police usually came to a determination that you're a criminal based upon the criminal acts that they saw you perform. But now police are being taught to see everyone as not really a potential criminal, but as a potential terrorist. Gun owners, supporters of so-called fringe candidates like Ron Paul or Chuck Baldwin, you know, that grandmother that you pulled over, she might be preparing meals for her local militia, you know, or that returning veteran, he may have post-traumatic stress disorder and an AK-47 under the seat and just ready to, you know, to get in a firefight with the next cop that stops him.
Right, and of course, they always tend to over-publicize those events when a person coming home, a veteran is coming home and actually does murder his wife or something. Then they really publicize that, and so you tend to think, well, everybody might be like that. You know, every veteran coming home might be suffering from some kind of stress disorder. And I've also noticed a big presence at all of the gatherings, any demonstration, you are going to have a huge presence of the police, and it's not just the police. It's SWAT teams, or SWAT teams, and they have buses, you know, barred windowed buses, all lined up, and you know, it's just saying, okay, make one wrong move, and we're going to put you on the bus.
Yep, you know, and rarely do you see anybody resisting. You're always seeing that the cops actually, you know, bending these people into pretzels. And we demonstrate a lot differently here in the United States than in other places around the globe. Like in Greece and Iceland, they throw things. They throw Molotov cocktails. They vandalize in large numbers. You know, but here there's, you know, people don't resist. And I'm going to get into some of the reasons why they don't resist and why we're so docile a little later on. But, you know, you were talking about these veterans and how, you know, they make a big deal about these returning veterans, and there's actually a TV show now called Homeland, and this is based, it's on Showtime or HBO, something like that, and it's based on an Israeli TV program that tells the story of this returning U.S. veteran who's been brainwashed by Al-Qaeda and is now back in America ready to wreak havoc. And, of course, he's white and clean-cut, and this is the conditioning that's not only being used to indoctrinate the police, but the general public as well, so that they will support this kind of law enforcement activity. You know, they'll say, oh, well, you know, police have to be careful. Anybody can be a terrorist these days.
Sure, and of course, it showed, you mentioned Showtime, which, of course, is owned by Sumner Redstone.
Yeah, I think it is on Showtime, actually. Either that or HBO, but we know
either
the
one.
Media. Yeah. And, so who's training our police to see everybody as a domestic terrorist? Well, you know, last week we discussed the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, and of course these other two Jewish organizations, which are more recognizable to those of you listening out there, the Anti-Defamation League and the Sovereign Poverty Law Center. Now, I'm speaking directly to the police out there. Now, I know that you cops out there pride yourselves on having these great investigative crime-fighting skills of deduction. Well, I implore you to do a little investigating into these two criminal organizations. The ADL has an extensive criminal history of spying, particularly on behalf of the South African apartheid government. This was done back in the early 90s. And they've conspired with corrupt cops. One in particular was this guy named Ray Bullock, who is a self-professed spy for the ADL, and he got a hold of this corrupt cop in San Francisco and got his hands on a bunch of files on particularly or primarily left-leaning organizations like the NAACP and the ACLU and all sorts of things. So these people are scumbag criminals. And, of course, they get off because they have a lot of power and influence. But, you know, I think you really need to go back and study the history of the ADL, which was created back in 1913.
To cover up criminality.
Year, you know, not only was the Federal Reserve created, but the IRS was created, the FBI was created, and the ADL was created, primarily to serve as a... Well, the way I see it is it's a criminal organization. It's more or less an attorney firm for the Jewish mafia. And
right.
They originally were defending this man who raped this 14-year-old girl. I can't remember his name. Do you remember the history on
I
that?
I remember the story, but I don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
But they actually were created to cover up criminality over the Federal Reserve, in addition to all the crime that was perpetrated by Jewish criminals who had come into the country between 1890 and 1820, who became involved in very, very big criminal activities.
Right.
And then, of course, they always shift the blame and the culpability to some other group, which they zeroed in on the mafia and said, oh, you know, look at all these Italian criminals. When in fact it was the Jews who were directing all of the crime.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And you know, speaking of Italians, they sure get the brunt of this Jewish wrath, and we see this on television programs and movies and all sorts of things. Robert Evans was the producer. Robert Evans is a Jewish man. I don't remember what his real name is, but that's a cover name. You know, they all got cover names, Gentile-sounding
sure.
names. But he was the one who produced The Godfather. And we see in, like, Sumner Redstone's MTV, we have these shows which really show Italians in a bad light, like Jersey Shore, for instance, which has these young Guido knuckle-dragging males and promiscuous women doing all sorts of things. Now, you never see a show about a Jewish group of teens that are involved in that kind of stuff. But you do see a lot of things that portray Italians in a bad light, and I really hate to see that.
Sure. And look at what they've done to the Catholic Church. I mean, you never hear about the 100 rabbis that got arrested for child abuse, but you sure hear about the Catholic Church.
Yes, and that more or less puts to rest this theory that the Vatican is in charge of the world or the New World Order, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, this organization, the ADL, it claims to be an organization that fights bigotry and anti-Semitism. And I want you police officers to understand something. They say that that's what their mission statement is. Meanwhile, they're giving their Torch of Freedom Award to Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner, the pornographer of Playboy magazine. I mean, why? Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's because Hugh has done a fine job of exploiting women and doing a fine job of chipping away at Christian values. Now, I know there are a lot of cops who consider themselves to be white Christians. Well, look at who is at the forefront of destroying that white Christian heritage. Who's behind efforts to take prayer out of school? The ADL. Who complains every time a nativity scene is erected on public property? The ADL. Who applauds pornographers that exploit your young daughters? That's the ADL's job. You know, it's to destroy the moral fiber of America. And their target right now is white Christians because we're the majority. And that's really the main reason. Not only do they hate Christianity, but we are the majority. I mean, if Asian Buddhists were the majority, they'd be the targets. You know, if Hispanic Catholics were the majority, they'd be the targets.
Sure.
And the SPLC, I mean, come on, Southern Poverty Law Center, these guys are a bunch of ambulance chasers. They targeted white supremacists or white nationalists and separatists for many years, not because they were particularly evil, but because they wanted their money. It's a scam. They get these blacks to bring lawsuits against these, you know, various organizations. The SPLC would represent them, and then they got a piece of the action. But now that they're running out of Klan members with money, I think their membership, the Klan, KKK, is down from hundreds of thousands to less than 1,000 now, and most of them are living in single-wide trailers. So now they're abandoning the blacks in those lawsuits, and they're going after or sidling up to the Hispanics. You see, they want to go after those wealthy ranchers in Arizona and Texas and New Mexico who are protecting their property from this wave of immigrants coming onto their land. But in reality, you know, the SPLC, they don't care about blacks or Hispanics. It's all about the money. It's all about making that dollar.
speaking of blacks, they are the ones that actually ran the NAACP from the time that it was created in 1909 until 1976, December of 1976. And when they finally had a black president and CEO of that organization. But it was people like Rabbi Stephen S. Wise and a lot of other Jews who actually ran the NAACP for decades. And the reason that they did this was to create this division between the whites and the blacks, because then, therefore, we would be, you know, fighting each other, whatever they were attempting to do, instead of looking at the real culprit behind the curtain, who was actually doing all these horrible things, including bringing liquor into the country and destroying the moral values of the nation.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the reasons that they got involved with the NAACP, for instance, the owner of Sears, who's Jewish, you know, back when the NAACP was being formed, he put a lot of money into it. And the reason for this is because they saw that, you know, in the wake of the civil rights movement where blacks were actually coming out and getting equal rights, they didn't want to see these blacks forming their own communities and starting their own stores and becoming professional business people who would actually compete against companies like Sears and Roebuck. So they put a lot of money into the NAACP, which supports things like the welfare state and breaking up black families and things of that nature. So, you know, they had a hand in that because they wanted to see blacks become dependent on the government and looking for handouts rather than, taking it upon themselves to become successful business leaders in their community.
Amazing. And of course, the women's movement, also run by Jews, actually did more to the black woman, because after 1973, there were more black women who were getting abortions than there were white. And prior to that time, there were more white women. And of course, they exploited the black leaders and got them to think, oh, well, yes, quality of life is better and with less children. So it's just done a real number in that community, which is very unfortunate.
And, you know, this is another thing that the Nazis get the blame for, is abortion. You know, they're saying that, who is that woman? Oh, gosh, never, on the tip of my tongue, the woman who is...
Oh, I know, Lipstadt?
Huh? No, not Deborah Lipstadt. I mean, the woman who...
Gloria Steinem?
No, I'm really messed up now here.
She's
the one who promoted abortion.
Oh, I know who you mean, Sanger.
Singer,
Margaret?
Right, Margaret Sanger. We hear the Patriot movement
Sanger.
Always
mm-hmm.
growing about that. Oh, you know, she loved... Adolf Hitler, and she adopted his, you know.
That's not true.
It's not true at all. As a matter of fact, her mentor was Emma Goldstein.
Yes. They were good bodies in New York.
Yes. This whole idea of the Nazis being behind abortion is just ridiculous. And it has created a literal black genocide, abortion has. And it has been promoted by Jews. I mean, rabbis get involved in this thing. You know,
sure.
they're behind a lot of these, you know, these organizations family planning centers. You know, you
all
see a
right.
lot of rabbis.
Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood.
It used to be called something like, I'll look it up here during the break, but they used to have another name for it, but it sounded too controlling, and so they decided to call it Planned Parenthood. It's a Planned Parenthood. But originally it was called Birth Control Federation of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds pretty sinister.
Yeah.
No wonder they changed it. Yeah, and it's
and then,
a double speak meaning to it, planned parenthood, as if you're going in there to plan a family. It's actually the reverse, planning not to have a family. So.
And Sanger developed something called the Negro Project.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that say, oh, that's just a conspiracy. But actually, according to official records, she did have a Negro Project. And Mary Lasker and Clarence Gamble of Procter & Gamble helped her set it up. They were on the special committee for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It all comes back to the same people.
Yes. All righty. We do need to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, my name is Don Wiskin, and I am always telling people that ExtendoVite can extend your life. Well, remember Russ and how his future was uncertain after his heart attack? We can now go to 1 year on ExtendoVite for Russ, and this is what he is saying now.
My name is Russ, and I want to update you on how ExtendoVite has been working for me. It has been 1 year now, and my doctor is amazed. He has never seen anyone get better after the heart attack I had. He could find nothing wrong with me and has reduced my medications. I feel like I have a new lease on life and would recommend ExtendoVite to everyone.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Keith Johnson. And let me share a quote that Margaret Sanger said, and I quote, regarding the Black Project, the Negro Project, as she called it. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through religious appeal. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members, unquote. But that's exactly what they were doing, because the Rockefeller Foundation, which also was developed about the same time in 1913 as the Federal Reserve, basically funded eugenics. And they created, the Eugenics Society and funded Cold Spring. And, it was the Harrimans and the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, the same people that also determined the medical education in this country through Abraham Flexner and his evaluation of medical schools in this country and in Canada.
Now, most patriots think of eugenics. They automatically think of that little man with the funny mustache.
Exactly.
But it's just not true and very unfortunate. But, yeah, organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, they don't care one bit about blacks or Hispanics. It's all about divide and conquer. And they're even doing it now with the Muslims, believe it or not. They're coming to the defense of the Muslims against this anti-Sharia hysteria. And this is a very clever game. Here we've got these Jews like Pamela Geller and David Horowitz whipping up a frenzy with these Christian Zionists over the threat of Sharia law, which is just nonsense. So they get these Christian Zionists so scared of Muslims that it manifests into violence. And we're starting to see this more every day. Meanwhile, you've got these other Jews who run the Southern Poverty Law Center calling out to the Muslims, oh, come over here, we'll protect you from those evil Christians. You know, we'll sue the hell out of them. And we see this over and over again. The Jews always gather up minority populations as a weapon against the majority. It's divide and conquer. That's the divide and conquer strategy. And cops are also a minority population, and they've been using them to do their dirty work, just like they have with the blacks and the Hispanics. So,
and of course, they've always used the military to do their dirty work.
Sure. So now, not only do we have this black versus Hispanic, white versus Muslim, now we have white cop versus white citizen. And you cops are putting up with this. I mean, wake up. You see, I'm not anti-cop, I'm not anti-black, I'm not anti-Asian or anti-Hispanic. As a matter of fact, I want to reach out to all of these segments and turn this divide and conquer strategy on its head. That's what we need to do. We all need to come together and unite against our common enemy, and that enemy is Jewish power. It has to be defeated or we're all done for. Now, let's move on. I guess we'll get into the federalization of the police. I guess that's where we left off last time. And part of our problem is that police are becoming more accountable to the federal government than to their own states and local communities. And this federalization of police really kicked into high gear during the Clinton administration. If you remember back then, in 1994, he introduced a crime bill, a new initiative, which funded 100,000 new community police officers. And to date, this legislation, which is called COPS, it's an acronym for Community-Oriented Policing Services, has introduced 11,000 new law enforcement agencies, I mean law enforcement officers into police agencies, even though it's not justified by a rising crime, you know.
Right.
And
we do have to go to a one-minute top-of-the-hour break. We'll be right back in 1 minute.